Well, let me pray for us, and we'll keep going. Father, you have put us into your service, and for that we are thankful. You have redeemed us and gifted us and called us to love one another through the ministry of the Word. And so we want to think rightly about it. We want to minister your Word carefully to one another. And so as we're about to look at, we want to see that it is more than methods. That methods matter, they're important, but there's so much more. And so we pray for energy, we pray for attentiveness, we pray that your Word would humble us and grow us and feed us and shape us according to your desires and your will. In Christ's name, amen. Well, more than methods, that's what we're going to talk about in this hour and think about together. Because I can think of many methods, if we want to call it that, for biblical counseling. You probably can too. Maybe shout a few out. What are, when you think methods of biblical counseling, what comes to your mind? Homework. Yeah, so Brent just walked us through a lot of homework. Those are methods. Homework. Collecting data. So just sitting with someone and hearing their story and asking questions, writing things down. What else? Encouragement. So just using the scripture, applying scripture, talking about scripture, memorizing scripture, prayer, listening, just listening to people speak, helping them share, asking good questions. Think of exhortation, reproof, teaching, strengthening, sometimes silence, just being still, being quiet, admonishment, somebody already said it, prayer and intercession. Clarification, helping people put into words what they're thinking, what they're feeling, even just nonverbal prompts to help someone keep talking, the expression of outrage or grief at moments where just the moment calls for the expression of outrage or grief at some offense, at some evil that has been done. That could be an appropriate ministry response. We could help a husband or wife talk to one another using just different principles of gentle speech and humble listening. And so what do we call these, intentional or maybe unintentional, these strategic or maybe non-strategic responses to people? What do we call these? Should we call them methods? And frankly, I don't know. I don't know what to call them. I've wrestled with this word methods. And I think the reason being is because there are moments and times where we're having to take a certain posture, take a certain approach, say a certain thing, but then I'm careful to call these kinds of moments and times methods or strategies or techniques, because the word sometimes implies a mechanical, impersonal, aloof sort of activity. I think of cars, car mechanic work. I think of like kidney surgery or a golf swing, right? Learning a technique for a golf swing. And so when we're talking about human relationships, we're talking about the ministry of God's Word to the souls of people, we're talking about the Spirit leading in particular moments in time, I hesitate, and maybe wrongly, I may be wrong in this, to overuse the word methodology. But if we simply mean by it just a way of interacting with another person in a moment of time, according to wise, thoughtful, humble, spirit-led discernment or thought and intention, then I think there are many methods in the ministry of God's Word, in biblical counseling. Here's a verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So there we could say are methods of ministry that were given from God's Word. Admonish the unruly. Sitting with in a particular moment with an unruly person, and does the moment call for admonishment? Or the faint-hearted, what are we to do? Sitting with a man or woman who is faint-hearted. and encourage them, help the weak. And so I think we could read verses like this and many others and say, okay, there seem to be methods in the personal ministry of the word. You know, Paul said to Timothy, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but admonish him as a father. There's a certain posture Paul wanted Timothy to take with an older man in his congregation. You know, younger women, treat them as sisters with all purity. But then here's what I want us to think about now and be careful about as we think about methods. That these methods that we've talked about and many more, that those methods and strategies are too many to number. This is point one. Too many to number. Are not often self-consciously applied and don't compose the whole of what counseling ministry is. That what other methods we're going to apply or think about, they're too many to number. And they're not often self-consciously applied, like a mechanic using a socket wrench on an engine. And don't compose the whole of what counseling ministry is. In other words, counseling ministry isn't just a collection of methods. Counseling ministry isn't just the right use of strategies at the right time. Secondly, those methods and strategies flow almost naturally from a person controlled by the Holy Spirit, truly captivated by and surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and genuinely concerned for the eternal good and welfare of people. That whatever methods or strategies we're going to talk about naturally flow from that person who is controlled by the Spirit of God, who is truly captivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ and really loves people. That's why you just sit a humble, Christ-loving, gospel-believing man or woman, 60 years old, across from another man or woman or a couple, and just talk about life. And you're going to see counseling happen. You're going to see wise, helpful counsel happen. And if you ask that man or woman, what strategies were you using? What are they going to say? I don't know what you're talking about. They're not going to be thinking even in those terms. Third point, those methods do not guarantee specific outcomes, which is often the allure of methods. Here's the method for this thing to get a certain outcome. And different methods might lead to the same outcome. And the same methods might lead to very different outcomes with different people. And all that being dependent on the will and the work of God. And then fourthly, those methods cannot be understood or evaluated apart from their theological, personal, and relational context. In other words, the theology that is motivating and shaping that method, as well as the person who's employing it, as well as the person who's receiving it, matter much more than the method itself. So what I want to do pretty much for our whole time is go to the book of Philemon, if you want to turn there now, and just, if anything, see those points, I think, illustrated. That the ministry, the personal ministry of God's word to one another is far more than methods. It's not less than methods, but it's much, much more. And I believe his letter to Philemon really illustrates what I'm trying to convey. Even though it's not a counseling interaction, it's not a dialogue, it's a letter. But yet, I think we can take it a step further and see how this would be shaped into a conversation. And how this still is personal ministry of the word. A little background to the letter. Philemon was a leader in the church in Colossae. In fact, the church met in his house. That Philemon would have come to faith through the preaching of Epaphras years before, who had come to faith through the preaching of Paul at Ephesus. So as Paul was at Ephesus preaching and teaching, Epaphras would have been there, come to faith in Jesus Christ, taken the gospel east to Colossae, proclaimed the gospel there, and God planted a church, the Colossian church. And Epaphras was the pastor, the minister there. And that church met in Philemon's house.